Hey, we're going down to Houston. We're bringing J.P. Hanstra. He writes for the L.A. Daily News. He's a Bay Area guy, UCLA as well. He's covered the beat for the Dodgers for the last 4 years. J.P., nice to have you with us today.
Hey, thanks for having me on.
Yeah, great to have you on. And a Bay Area guy, huh? Cupertino?
Yeah, absolutely. I grew up in that little Fertile Crescent where it was okay in the late 1980s to choose which team you rooted for, either the Giants or the A's. And in many cases, you rooted for both because both teams were so good at that time. It was a good time to be a baseball fan in the Bay Area.
Well, great. I'm just so glad to have you on. This race is starting to take shape, and we of course, follow the Giants very carefully here and always keep our eye on the Dodgers, wherever they are. But last night, the whole baseball world put their eye on Houston, and Tom fires last night, and he fired a no-hitter against the Dodgers. You were there. How did that thing unfold, and what did you think?
Well, it didn't unfold like you saw the guy come out on the mound, and you just knew he was dealing, and he was lighting up the radar gun, and the Dodgers didn't have a chance. Now, this was one of those where you looked up after the first inning, oh, no hits. You looked up after the second inning. You looked up after the third inning. And at some point, you were like, wow, this guy's actually got a no-hitter going here. The Dodgers actually did a pretty good job early in the game of drawing some walks and working the count and getting Fires' pitch count up. I think he was around 80 pitches through six innings. And you thought, okay, you know, some point here the Astros are going to have to go to their bullpen. One of these guys has to get a hit, but they just never did. And I think Fires kind of mixed up how he was pitching the guys. And by the ninth inning, I mean, they really didn't know what was coming. Fires wound up retiring the last 21 hitters in a row. Mm. And, you know, it was good to see the Minute Maid Park really get into it. I think by the ninth inning, you know, pretty much everybody was standing up on their feet. They were cheering with two strikes like it was a playoff game in October. It was just a really cool atmosphere, and you couldn't help but be drawn in by that point. You could just tell Fires had really his best stuff going.
What was the last out like?
The last out was Justin Turner. And Turner, it's usually, he's got a bigger swing, but he's usually pretty good about fouling off pitches around the strike zone. He'd been seeing breaking balls early in the count, but this time Fires was giving him fastball after fastball. And it was, I think, 1-2 when he went outside with the fastball, just a ton of movement, a very typical pitch for the final out. It looked like it was going to be over the plate. By the time it got there, it wasn't. Turner waved at it on the outside corner. Strike three, mound flooded, fans on their feet cheering like they'd just seen the greatest thing ever. It was special.
Oh, very good. J.P. Hanstra with us. Very good. Hey, you should do some play-by-play. I like that. Very, very good. Way to set it up for us because, you know, you see it on TV, but to hear from someone who was there, pretty exciting. All right, Chase Utley is there. What's your reaction to that? Was that the move that you thought they would make? Is it a move that turns anything around for them? And what's Utley's reaction?
Not the move I thought they would make, but not the most nonsensical move for a team that just lost starting second baseman. You know, Howie Kendrick's going to be out until September or something. We're not quite sure when. But he, I guess, just started running down in Arizona. Rosters obviously expanded to 40 in September, so the Dodgers didn't have to really shuffle too many things around here to get Chase Utley in. And he was the weirdest thing was that he was the designated hitter yesterday. He'd only done that five times in his career. He's been in the league since 2003, so that was a little weird. But no, he'll be the primary second baseman here for probably the next 2 weeks, plus or minus, until Kendrick gets back. You know, I mean, it's fair to look at it and say, okay, well, you know, this move makes sense. But then you look at the prospects that the Dodgers gave up. They gave up a AAA prospect named Darnell Sweeney, a guy who has good speed, can play a few different positions, and they gave up a single-A pitcher named John Ritchie. These are actually fairly good prospects. Granted, the Dodgers have a deeper system, so maybe not the top guys in the Dodgers system, but on another team, I mean, you might say this is two of the better prospects that you're giving up. So I think it was a meaningful trade in the sense that there was very real competition for Chase Utley. The Giants were a team that had been linked to him. The Dodgers had to give up something very real in return. So this is a trade that was significant in this, not only in the sense of who the Dodgers were getting, but in the sense of who they were giving up. So it was a little bit surprising, but it was kind of a big trade there.
Yeah, well, it was. We followed it up here. My goodness, Utley milked it out for a couple of weeks before deciding. J.P. Hunster with us. He covers the Dodgers for the L.A. Daily News. Was there, of course, last night for the no-hitter by Tom Fiers. The Dodgers have not put the Giants away. It's a game and a half now, and they have to be looking over their shoulder. What's the reaction down there about the Giants and this race?
The reaction is kind of the opposite, that the Giants haven't put the Dodgers away.
Okay.
They've been a 500 team since June, maybe. I'd have to go back and look at it, but it's been a couple months now where I think the sense is that the Dodgers have basically just been treading water in the division, you know, two steps forward, two steps back. You know, the lineup breaks out for a series and then the bullpen throws away the next one. And you look up at the top of the standings and it's like, yeah, well, they're still in first place. So at least they still have that. But I think fans in Southern California are very aware of the fact that the Giants have a good team that can break out at any moment. And they've seen what's happened in the past, where you just can't look at the Giants on paper and say that the Dodgers are a better team. It's not that simple. It never is with the Giants and the Dodgers. And so I think Dodgers fans are very much hoping for some kind of a run here. They've been hoping for it for a couple months. Like I said, they got off to a very good start. And they just have never really been able to get to that point where they can get back to that point where they were in April and early May. And in spite of plenty of moves, I guess the Dodgers have, I would have to guess they've made, if not the most transactions in Major League Baseball this season. They've been one of the more active teams. And yet, yeah, still a game and a half. So for a first-place team, a lot of frustration among the fan base.
All right. Well, very interesting. Great perspective. Interesting that the Giants haven't put the Dodgers away. Hadn't looked at it like that. Very good. Good perspective. Any more moves coming up? I said this week, they got Utley, but really the bullpen was the problem. I mean, it looked offensively like they probably could score some runs, but the bullpen's a mess. What's going on with the bullpen?
Yeah, exactly. I'm pretty sure they'll have something. They have to do something before September 1st here to address that fact. Because, I mean, the approach that the Dodgers have taken is basically crowdsourcing. They've moved up a lot of guys from AAA. They've moved down a lot of guys. They've gone to guys who haven't pitched in the big leagues in 8 years, like Chinwe Cao. They've gone to guys who are fresh out of college drafts from the last couple years. I mean, they've really tried everything. You got to give them credit for that. But I think there was a sense among the fans that maybe they would go after Jonathan Papelbon, some kind of an experienced reliever. Obviously, they got Jim Johnson and Louis Avalon from Atlanta. Those two haven't worked out great, especially Johnson. He's just really not looked like, he's looked like he did when he pitched for the A's. So, they need something else, and it's just a question of who. I expect in September that crowdsourcing will continue. They'll probably call up a lot of guys from AAA, but they'll probably make a trade first.
Well, interesting. JP, thanks for taking the time, and look forward to seeing you when the end of the year when the Dodgers are up here, and we'll try to get you on again. You give a great report, and I appreciate your being on with us. JP Hanstra, LA Daily News. Thanks, JP.
Hey, thanks for having me, Marty.
All right, have a good afternoon. Wow.